Our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
I was never satisfied.
Ascend our 7th Juliet. Do you have traffic for us at 2 o'clock?
It was all too symmetrical.
We got traffic here about 1:30 to 2 o'clock. It's very bright. Doesn't seem to be moving. Just to change the colors.
I know one of them has is carrying a very large weapon.
That looks like a weapon of some sort.
That'd be kind of interesting to have a couple pictures. I think it might make our case a little better.
UFOs. It would cause widespread panic and fear.
With tensions rising over Iran's nuclear ambitions, Virginia's John Warner, who heads the Senate.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
And now, Dark Matters. Here's Don Ecker.
And welcome back to another edition of Dark Matters Radio. I am your host. My name is Don Ecker. Let me tell you, the show that you're about to hear today is historically one of great importance in my somewhat humble opinion. And incidentally, I hope you really enjoy this because I'll tell you, it took one hell of a lot of work to get this one together. This particular program took place August the 8th, 1993, and my guest was Dr. Bruce Maccabee. Now, I've got to give you a little behind-the-scenes idea of what was going on. Just about the third week of July, just a couple of weeks previously, UFO Magazine received a report called the Associated Investigators Report Number 1, which was anonymous. And among other things, it named a number of people within this report, people that were very well known in the annals of UFO research, as having many connections to Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA. One of the people named very prominently was Dr. Bruce Maccabee. Now, at that particular time, Maccabee was the chairman for the Fund for UFO Research. So immediately, the editor-in-chief, Vicki Cooper, later Vicki Cooper Ecker, and myself contacted Dick Hall, or Richard Hall. Now, Dick was one of the very most prominent members of the Fund for UFO Research back in Washington, D.C., and we talked to him rather extensively about this. Now, on this particular note introducing this program, you're going to find a number of reports in PDF format which you can open up and read for yourself. The first one is the AIR report. The second one is the rebuttal issued by Bruce Maccabee. And there's a link in there with my initial report that you can read that appeared in the pages of UFO Magazine. Now, after we got a number of facts about this, I called Maccabee up and invited him to come on UFOs Tonight, my then radio show, to discuss these issues. Now, this particular program, when you begin to listen to it, and first let me say this, although I certainly recalled this particular episode of UFOs Tonight, until I replayed the program while I was digitizing it so it could be uploaded, I had literally forgotten how many important things were discussed in that particular episode that evening. It's been a long time ago. But among some of the topics that we ended up covering, Maccabee and I, were not only his dealings with CIA going back to 1979, but a number of other hot-button issues that at that time were swirling around the periphery of UFO research, not the least of which were names like Bill Moore and the MJ-12 documents. People like Robert Bob Collins, who purportedly was, along with Rick Doty, were the people behind the UFO cover-up live television broadcast that took place in 1988, who were named as Falcon and Condor. Whether Bruce McAbee, in fact, was one of Bill Moore's aviary members. Now, if you know anything about UFO research going back into those years, you will probably recognize references to the aviary, which were bird names that were issued by Moore to certain alleged government intelligence officers or operatives. Now, something else that we also covered toward the end of the show was a story that I broke on national television on NBC and CNN. And that, of course, was the STS-48 shuttle video, which seemed to show UFOs in orbit being live video feed from the shuttle and something appearing to shoot at them. Now, I've got to give you a little background on that. When I originally received that videotape, it was from a UFO researcher back in Maryland by the name of Don Ratch. Ratch had called me up, had told me about this video, and sent me a copy of the VHS tape out that had been downloaded from a live feed at a cable television station in Dundalk, Maryland. Now, this video, the day that I received it, we had a number of people coming over to our home that evening to view this tape because of what it allegedly, I hadn't yet seen it, what it allegedly contained. During the day, I got a telephone call from Bruce McAbee. McAbee was out on the West Coast at some type of meeting that he was attending as a naval optical physicist. And it wasn't unusual when McAbee was out on the West Coast. He would call us up to get in touch. And I told him about this tape and invited him over. Bruce came over to our home. Now, with a number of other people sitting in there, I popped the tape into our VCR, turned it on, and was absolutely shocked by what this video showed. Now, during the course of the entire evening, McAbee sat there and said virtually nothing about it. Later on, I was to find out that not only was he very aware of this, but according to Vincent DiPietro, another NASA contract scientist, McAbee was extremely excited. Now, mentioning Vince DiPietro leads me to something else that I've got to broach. DiPietro was one of only two people the night that I appeared on CNN, Larry King Live, debating Jim Oberg about STS-48. Managed to get through. Only two phone calls were taken, one by him, by Vince DiPietro, the other by another NASA employee by the name of O.H. Bond. Both callers attempted to diss this tape, which in hindsight is rather amazing considering what I later discovered about Vince DiPietro. I guess I have to thank my criminal investigator's background for really digging out a lot of information about this. Now, before we go to the show, in order to give you an idea of what DiPietro was going through at the time and what DiPietro was thinking, I have several sound clips from a conversation Vince DiPietro had with UFO researcher Don Ratch that Ratch made available for me. So stand by just a moment while I play a couple of these, and then I'm going to comment on them.
That object, if you look at it carefully in slow motion, frame by frame,
right,
it appears to rise over the horizon. That's where it's coming from. Which means, in other words, it looks like now it's sunrise, you get a little piece of the sun, and then a bigger half, and a bigger half, until it's, you know, a great big sun.
Okay.
If you look at it frame by frame, you'll see that. It's a little dot, and it gets wider. Only half of a dot.
Okay.
And it gets wider and wider until it's a full dot, and then it comes up over, and then it moves to the left. Well, by virtue of the fact that it's coming up over the horizon, means that it's at least in the same orbit as the spacecraft, but it has to have overtaken the spacecraft's speed, so it's moving faster.
Okay.
Because it's coming up. You follow that logic?
Okay.
All right. Now, that means it's moving in excess of 17,500 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
When it makes the turn, it accelerates into space.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Now, and I calculate 3 to 1. That puts it at 50,000 miles an hour.
Wow.
That's fast, 52,000 exactly.
Huh.
That's faster than anything we have.
Hmm. That's for sure.
Now, it takes us that long to do the gravity assist around the Earth.
Now, what you just heard was DiPietro telling Ranch what he observed the first time he looked at this video feed. Now, this second clip, you'll hear whose attention DiPietro brought this to.
The UFO people, and I said, oh, it's nothing but debris. Petro doesn't have anything. So then by this time, you sent your tape to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at that, and I was real impressed with it. So I put all three of them together. And I did this enlarged, I said, with the camera that I have, so that you can see that UFO very clearly. I mean, fills up the hole there on the screen. And I put all this together, and I told them that I had this, I wanted them to see it. Well, I don't have anything. It's not worth seeing.
They're going to be thinking about the first thing you sent them.
Right. Exactly. So it took me a while. I got a hold of one of them, a guy called Berliner, Don Berliner. Have you ever heard of him?
He's working for the Fund for UFO Research.
That's the group I'm with. Talk to him, describe what I had. A meeting was arranged in Washington.
Yeah.
Really? Hotels, yeah.
Wow. When did this occur?
This occurred this week. I think it was Monday night.
Really?
Hmm. Went down there. Yeah, it was Monday night. It was the first week. My first day. So went down there, showed him the tape.
So who was all there? You, Berlin, or who else?
Maccabee.
Really?
Mothers from the Fund for UFO Research, and a physicist that I know at work.
Oh, so you brought that real clear copy that you had from NASA?
Yes.
It was over in the stones. It was Moody.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they saw it. They're convinced.
Hmm.
They're ready to jump on it like stink on shit. Now I have to back them off. First, I couldn't convince them. Now I have to back them down. I said, wait a minute. They're ready to go embarrass NASA. and I'm saying, hey, I don't want to embarrass NASA. I work there. I like my job.
Now, in retrospect, I've got to wonder what was really going on in Bruce Maccabee's mind. Only Maccabee can tell you. But, like I said, being a former criminal investigator, I've got to wonder about people when they either actively attempt to disinform me or they withhold what I consider to be vital information. Now, before I play this last clip, let me tell you that when DiPietro managed to get through on Larry King Live, and nobody will ever be able to convince me this was not a set-up deal, DiPietro tried to absolutely diss this entire sequence, to make it sound as if it was not, in fact, a genuine UFO or unidentified flying object, but frozen ice or frozen urine in space. Now, why would he do that? The fact of the matter was, he was terrified, absolutely terrified, not only for his job, but that someone might even want to murder him. Now, murder? I mean, you're talking some pretty heavy-duty stuff. Why would anyone want to murder? Well, in his mind, I'm believing now, he was so convinced that he had stepped on major national security issues that his life was in danger. But don't let me tell you about it. I'll have DiPietro. So there you have it. That may in fact be why DiPietro, the night that I appeared on Larry King Live, tried to absolutely diss that particular tape in question, ergo saving not only his job, but perhaps his life. At least that's what he believed. So, you're going to have to listen to this show and make up your own mind. I personally think that by the end of the program, Maccabee was still being somewhat disingenuous, especially listening to this show with all those years of hindsight to look back upon. But in the annals of UFO broadcasting, UFO research, anybody that's been around this field any length of time know that there have been many, many, many cases where accusations of working in collusion with intelligence agencies have been all over the landscape. Well, this was one that was absolutely verified. So with no further ado, on with the show.